About That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today.
We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home for free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube, but for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV.
We're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise has free picks every day for every sport. Check out all their expert plays and betting news at PicksWise.com. That's PicksWise.com.
Talk really.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Welcome everyone to About That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kyle Waddy Watnell, joined by my co-host and partner in picks, Mark Megatron Glass. Today is Monday, April 12th. Mark, what a show we have today.
A rather unique event.
An experience, if you will.
Every time we talk about something along these lines, I think we did one other social media type fight.
Right.
The people running the marketing on these things are great. It's two people that I do not give a fuck about, but I cannot wait to watch.
Yeah, if you went ahead and clicked on this episode already, you're probably already familiar with it. We're going to be talking about Jake Paul taking on Ben Askren, the celebrity boxing match going on this coming Saturday. But before we get into that, let's go ahead and dive into some sports news. Mark, first of all, fresh on my mind, I was just hanging out last night, kind of finishing up the workday. It was Sunday, so I was kind of just finishing up some tidying up work, you know, laundry, that sort of stuff. And I decided to put on Sunday Night Baseball, Mark, something I hardly ever do is just put on a baseball game, you know, but it's a good like background sport to have on while I was doing some work. So I put it on. And Mark, did you see that play at home plate between the Phillies and the Braves last night?
I did. I woke up this morning and I have like a sports news feed that I go through, and that was all
right
over it.
Right. So I was literally actually watching that game on TV when that happened. And like, I mean, what are the odds of something significant happening when you just put on a random baseball game? Pretty slim to none. But I actually saw that play happen, you know, watched the replays during the game, like three or four, you know, they showed it over and over and over. And he looked out every single time. And then, of course, they do the review and then they confirm that he's safe. And the Phillies win the game 7-6. The play happened, I think, the bottom of the eighth inning it was. How does that happen, Mark? How is that possible? Where we see the replay, everyone at home knows he doesn't touch home plate and he's still safe.
I couldn't tell you. It's crazy. It brings up the conversation of replays in sports because this all, I don't know, when did MLB start doing replays? Like 2 years ago?
Yeah, not that long.
The third season?
Not that long ago.
Yeah, so like obviously you and I are soccer fans, as people know, as we do the other show as well about EPL. And I know in the soccer world there's a huge controversy of referees missing calls because soccer is like a more free-flowing game, right? Like it's not like baseball where it's like you pitch, you wait, you pitch, they hit it, and it's much easier to implement the replay system.
Right.
So I know the way that the soccer language is, I'm not sure if this is how they do it in baseball, but basically they can only overturn, quote, clear and obvious errors, right? And so they define that as like it's no question that the referee or in baseball an umpire made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, they lean on the call that was already made because they want to protect the referees in soccer. So what I imagine happened in this situation, I haven't looked into the rules at all.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about baseball. But I think what probably happened is the umpires probably looked at the review and they said, okay, unless it's extremely obvious, which to what I'm seeing to everyone, it seemed like it was.
Right.
But if the umpires have any kind of justification for why that was
not
why
obvious,
that call can stand, they
right
take it. They only need the smallest shred of an argument for it no longer to be obvious, clear and obvious.
Oh man,
that's if they apply the soccer language to it. And
right,
so it brings into play the whole question, like, why do we even have it there if the rules aren't, if we don't have the infrastructure in place to actually overturn the calls? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This actually happened. There was a soccer call that happened in the Champions League. I don't know if you saw that, but Dortmund was playing Manchester City, and there was an absolutely egregious call that happened where a striker on Dortmund, he stole the ball off of the goalkeeper, was facing the open net. Before he kicked it into the open goal, which he eventually did, the ref blew the whistle and called a foul. And so because he hadn't kicked the, he, if in soccer, if there's a goal scoring play, you can, that's reviewable. But since the foul was called before he scored the goal, they couldn't review the play, and the replays clearly showed there was no foul. So it stood, man. Right? So yeah. There's all these protections in play.
Right.
So it's like you don't even get the real benefits of a replay. So for this one, and I'm going on an ultimate rant here out of nowhere. But for this instance, from what I saw, it seems like they don't have the proper infrastructure in play to actually overturn calls, even if the common eye, like you and me, thinks it's clear and obvious.
Yeah. Definitely an interesting one. I mean, yeah, it looked like from the several angles that his foot kind of goes airborne a little bit over the plate and then hits the ground again, like right after passing home plate.
But if there's any angle that the umpire can look at and say,
I'm not sure.
I think he touched it right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's all he needs.
Yeah. All right.
Because they always want to protect the call on the field. For the integrity of the umpires.
Right, exactly.
The umpires are a union. They're a union.
Yeah, they are. They are.
And so they want the protections.
Yeah, if he was called out at home and it had gone to replay, no doubt they would have confirmed that he was out. Agreed?
Right, exactly. It's like in football. It's like in the NFL. It's like what they call is going to stand more often than not because they only need the smallest bit of evidence.
Right.
And it's like, I guess it's the lesser of two evils. It's like, would you rather the call be wrong and they don't even look at it and you don't know what the true result would have been? Or is it like, do you want every now and then you get that extra slap in the face where a call seems to obviously be wrong, they look at it and they still miss it?
Right, right. It's almost like ignorance is bliss in that way. Sometimes looking at it makes you feel even worse about it. Anyway, that was just fresh on the mind. I wanted to talk about that a little bit. Matsuyama won the Masters yesterday. I don't know if you watched any of the Masters. He kind of got
a single swing.
All right.
Not a single swing.
Not a single swing. He got out ahead and then eventually kind of made it close in the end, but still was relatively comfortable at the end there. The San Diego boy, Xander Schauffele, kind of made a run, and he was in second for a while, and he looked like the only guy that could pressure him, but kind of choked a little bit at the end. But anyway, Matsuyama, big win for Japanese golf, securing a green jacket. What else? Oh, dude, Marvin Vettori. We got to talk about Marvin Vettori.
Huge. Oh,
about that action. Probably our favorite UFC fighter. I mean, the one that Mark has, fought himself and seen since. Marvin Vettori.
The better Marvin Vettori does, the better I look.
Yeah, that's right. Honestly, the better the
I'm
show
sitting
does.
I'm at 0-1. I'm sitting at 0-1, my only loss to Marvin Vettori. Check out episode 1 if you don't know what we're talking about.
Episode 1, that's right, Marvin Vettori. Marvin Vettori gets a big win over Kevin Holland, who was filling in short notice for Darren Till in the UFC over the weekend. Marvin Vettori wins by decision, uses his wrestling, gets Holland down. Just a durable, solid striker. Everything we wanted to see from him, he put on a great performance. Marvin Vettori might have a title shot, Mike or Mark. He might have a title shot, and he might even be champion. Can you believe that? I mean, when we talked about him on the first episode, I mean, since then he's been on an absolute rocket ship to the top.
He hasn't lost since he faced Adesanya,
right?
And a lot of people thought that fight was really close. Some people even scored it in favor of Vettori.
It was a split decision, so he might get a second chance.
You know how we feel about Dana White and his marketing and how he wants to promote certain fighters. He knew Israel Adesanya was the future star, so he gave him the win. It's a conspiracy theory right there.
Man, I hope that he is the next to get a title shot. That would be a very fun episode to revisit. Anyway, Marvin Vettori, that was the other news of the weekend. No Financial Investing 101 this week, Mark. We did MLB Futures last week, just an absolute thrilling barn burner of an episode. Some long-term investments in the baseball was our show last week. So in place of Financial Investing 101, let's do a little Savage or Weird. We haven't done this in a little while. Let's take some moments, because this is the Jake Paul Ben Askren show, let's take some moments of the buildup to the fight that's been taking place over the past few weeks and debate whether those moments were savage or weird. Mark, kick it off.
Okay, my first savage or weird moment, it's the moment that most people have seen. It's become kind of like the poster image, you could say,
okay,
of the buildup to the fight, besides Ben Askren getting knocked out in 5 seconds. But so Jake Paul and Ben Askren, I want to say it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, they had a face-off, like press conference media thing. And they got up in each other's faces. You can look up the clip on YouTube. It's really short. So they get up in each other's faces. Jake Paul's like talking some shit in his face. You can't hear what he's saying because they're not mic'd up or anything. Ben Askren kind of turns and palms him in the face,
right,
you know, like just be like, get out of here.
You know? Yeah, like kind of like a face shove. Yeah, a little bit of a face
and
shove.
And Jake Paul gets furious. You see the light, the fire just light in his eyes. But then he slaps Ben Askren in the ass. And so Ben Askren like palms him in the face, turns to like walk away and leave. And Jake Paul is like, hey, where the fuck are you going? But then he slaps him in the ass. It was weird to me.
It was definitely
weird. Was that
weird.
Savage? Because when Israel Adesanya beat Paulo Costa and humped him from behind,
right?
We called that. Did we? We said. I think we ruled that was savage.
I think you ruled it savage.
So by default, for consistency of logic, I feel like
by default.
I want to say that Jake Paul ass slap is savage.
Yeah, it was definitely
at the
unique.
Same time, it's weird.
Yeah, it was definitely unique. I think it was a little weird because you could tell he wanted to like punch him, but there was that part in his brain that's like, you know, this fight's worth a lot of money and I can't jeopardize it, you know, and this is the press conference. So he kind of did like, yes, it was a slap, but it was also kind of like it was like almost a punch. I don't know. It was kind of a weird in between. It was a hard slap, if you will. It was like it made a good thud or whatever. You could tell he was very, very mad. But I'll go ahead and jump on board with you for the sake of consistency. We can rule that as a savage move by Jake Paul. Another one that's that happened recently was that video of Jake Paul and, like, I guess you could say his posse or his crew or whatever you want to call him. Jake Paul and his group kind of walk up to Ben Askren, who's just sitting at a table kind of chilling. I don't know if it was before the press conference or shortly after, but they come up and kind of do like a weird intimidation, getting in his face kind of thing, and they chant some things at him. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's like they clearly planned that out in training camp. Like, they're like, hey, we're gonna find him and this is the dance we're
gonna
do.
That's so goofy. What was the chant again? It was pretty bad.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, that's how bad
it was. Like, Jake Paul like walked up to Askren, who, like you said, he's like sitting at a table, like,
yeah, he's
I think he was
out,
like filming some of his own content. He's been putting like his own he's been documenting the whole thing.
Right.
And so Jake like walks up, like smacks all the stuff off the table.
Yeah.
And he's got like a group of like 6 or 7 guys and like a film crew. He like turns around to them and they start like, it's almost like when you played like Little League sports and it was like, repeat after me. And
That was
it's like
it.
One of those things.
That was it. I think we can we both agree that was far from savage. Right?
No, that was the opposite of savage. That was definitely weird. I want to say the ass slap is weird, even though I thought the other incident was savage. So I think we're saying double weird at this point.
I
think
agree.
this whole thing is weird, right?
Yeah, definitely the whole thing is weird. I think also I'll dive into it a little bit farther along here when we get into the picks, but I think Mark, that this fight started as like a fun kind of thing, and I think it's picked up way more publicity than either guy expected. And I think they're both a little like uncomfortable with it. Like they both, like it's gotten way bigger than we expected. Now it's definitely weird how big this fight has gotten. But anyway, what is the next savage or weird moment?
Well, on that note, I think the next savage or weird question we have to ask is, because I think Ben Askren, he seems extremely calm going into this fight. He has nothing to lose. Like,
right.
He was nobody at the essentially like after the Masvidal knockout. And he retired, and like Dana White hates him.
Yeah.
So it's like, and no one cared about Ben Askren. And then all of a sudden, Jake Paul starts calling him out. He takes this fight, and now suddenly people care. But I've been watching the interviews with Ben, and what he's saying, you know, he's probably putting on a front. Like, he obviously cares.
Yeah.
But what he's saying, he's like, hey, He literally said, he said he wanted to just get on. He just wanted to get back in shape. He said he was like, I needed a reason to get back in shape.
Right.
He's like, I wanted to do wrestling, but then this came around. It paid me a lot more money. He's like, so if I win, that's great. If I lose, I'm just going to go back to doing my wrestling camp. But it's a great excuse to get back in shape. And then you have Jake Paul on the other side saying, like, I am going to be the biggest prize fighter in the world. Like, there's a huge discrepancy.
Quite a gap.
You know? And then all these videos come out of Ben Askren doing his boxing training, and it looks lackluster, to say the least. And he's out there, like, at these press conferences. He's wearing, like, T-shirt, sweatpants, and flip-flops.
That's his thing.
And I really think Ben Askren doesn't care that much. He obviously has the least amount to lose, you know?
Right.
Like, he's not in the public eye anymore, aside from this bout.
Right.
So I propose to you the question, is it savage or weird that Ben Askren, in the biggest media event of his life, he just doesn't care? He doesn't seem to care.
You're kind of right. I am a little worried that he's putting on that front because he's a little worried about how it's going to go. I think that might be part of it. You know what I mean? I think the narrative has changed slightly from Ben since the start. The start was, oh, I'm going to beat up this YouTuber. Yeah, like, it'll be easy. And then since then, in some of the interviews, he's been like, you know, we don't really know if Jake's good or not. Like, he could be. If he is, he might beat me, but we just don't know. And, like, the fact that you'd even say that.
He literally said in an interview, he said, we don't know if Jake Paul's good because the people he fought were trash, but if he does turn out to actually be good, then I'll probably lose.
Right.
That's literally
right.
What he said.
Right. So the fact that he said that, I mean, yeah, it is a little bit savage that he doesn't care. Like, he's just, it is kind of savage to be like, you know, whatever. This is an easy payday for me, and I'm going to do it for fun. Like, I have no real stake in this. That's a bit savage, but it also definitely has to be weird for someone who made their life in the fight game and gets the biggest payday of his career. He said that it's going to be the biggest payday of his career and the biggest, like you said, media moment, the biggest highlight, the biggest press event of his career, and he doesn't care about it. So I think it's definitely a little bit of both, a good mixed cocktail of the two, both savage and weird.
It is a nice break from the normal fighting
definitely narratives
attitude. Like, can you imagine if Jake Paul was fighting against, like, I don't know, we can take like Kevin Holland from this past week or something, right? And if he went into like the lobby of where Kevin Holland was hanging out and he did that choreographed dance,
right?
Kevin Holland would jump the table and start beating his ass right then and there. Whereas Ben Askren's just kind of like,
yeah, it's
like,
all good.
Whatever. I just want to get back in shape. It's kind of funny because, like, he's really like the only fighter I can think of that fits this
type
of non-confrontational.
Exactly. He's such a nice guy, honestly. He's non-confrontational, just kind of like easygoing with everything and doesn't mind when people try to intimidate him like that. Also, speaking of Dana White went on that hot boxing podcast with Mike Tyson, which I've tried to listen to a few times, Mark, but I'm sorry, Mike, but it's just hard.
It has so much potential, but then you remember that, like, Mike Tyson, like, can't speak, and he already took so many blows to the head. Now that he combines that with an ungodly amount of mushrooms, it's like he's literally living in a different planet.
But anyway, Dana White was a guest on the show. They were breaking down this fight, and Dana White said he would bet $1 million on his former UFC fighter in Ben Askren. He'd bet $1 million. Your thoughts on that? Is that savage or weird?
I think that's weird, to be honest. Mm. I think it's weird. I think he hated
Ben Askren, too.
Yeah, I think to put $1 million on this, I take it back. I think it's savage. I think he's showing, like, I'm so rich that, like, I'll throw $1 million on this because I don't even care.
And, like,
you know?
And I'll put, like, my name behind my company a little bit too, or my money behind my company. Like, oh, this guy fought in the UFC where we have world class fighters. So yeah, I'll bet $1 million on a guy who fought for us. You know, like,
Why it's savage. Actually, is Dana. You know, Paulo Costa was scheduled to fight Robert Whittaker.
That's right.
On this exact same day, Paulo Costa dropped out.
Right.
He got the flu and wasn't able to train, something weird like that.
Mm.
But so Kelvin Gastelum is fighting Robert Whittaker in a huge middleweight fight to arguably decide who fights for the next title shot against Adesanya.
Right.
And Dana White scheduled that for the same night as this fight.
The same
time.
He's betting
$1 million on something he's not even watching. That's savage.
That is savage. That's super savage. Yeah, that's true. There's a big UFC fight night at the same time. So we'll have to get both screens up and going. We'll have a simulcast sort of thing going on. Two big fights to watch. Those are some good savage and weird moments. Let's go ahead and dive into the picks. The best ways to make money on this absolute jester of an event. It's going to be Jake Paul versus Ben Askren. We'll be back with picks after a quick word from our sponsors. This show is brought to you by WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 in a risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply, and get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today.
We're also brought to you by BetterThan.Vegas. It's like YouTube, but for what hashtag DGens only care about most, and that's sports betting. We're giving you free daily video picks over at our BetterThan.Vegas profile page. Better Than Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They've got a ton of free picks and handicappers to check out too, so make sure to subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a single pick at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV.
Lastly, we're brought to you by PicksWise.com. Helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatics, wise guys giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction on every game, every day, and every sport, all for free. NBA, MLB, and the NHL, whatever the sport, they have you covered with free analysis and, more importantly, free picks. Plus, they have all the betting news you need and expert best bets. Head over to PicksWise.com. For all the free picks you need, that's PicksWise.com. And just like that, we're back. Time to make some picks on this very, very interesting matchup between former MMA world champion, former Olympian in wrestling, Ben Askren. He takes on social media star, YouTube star, Jake Paul. We're not going to break down any of the undercard fights because there's no point. This is the thing you're going to be tuning in for. Jake Paul, Ben Askren. All right, Mark, this is where we get down to business. This is where we make the money. Go ahead and give us your initial thoughts on the matchup and who you're going to take.
So we're looking at Jake Paul as a -130 favorite. Right. Ben Askren is even.
Interesting line.
Look, I agree with the line. I think Jake Paul is the favorite here.
Okay.
Here's my problem, right, is that the logic doesn't quite make sense to me, because we've had Jake Paul this whole time saying, because he fought Nate Robinson, the former basketball player.
Right.
And then he fought some other YouTube guy who I think that might have been like his first week walking as a human being. And so everyone was saying like, those aren't real fighters. Like, that was absolutely ridiculous. No one cares. So Jake Paul comes out and says, okay, I'm going to fight a real fighter so that you guys respect me and you can't talk shit about me. Not fighting real fighters.
Mm-hmm.
So he picks Ben Askren, right, who is known, at, like you said, his background is in wrestling. He's one of the best American wrestlers, like, to ever wrestle in his prime. You know, he's a national champion. He's an Olympian as well. He was Daniel Cormier's Olympic teammate, funny enough. And he's absolutely not known for his striking. Throughout his UFC career, his striking was just there to distract and create diversions to go into the wrestling, right? The whole reason he got knocked out in 5 seconds against Masvidal is because he immediately shot down to get a takedown and got kneed in the face at the perfect moment.
Yep.
Right. But so then what I was going to say is that we have Jake Paul in the press conferences saying like, oh, well, like MMA and boxing is totally different. Like boxing is going to prevail. And so I'm just confused here, because you want us to respect you as a fighter, but now you're saying that MMA and boxing are completely different, which they are. I agree with Jake Paul when he says that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be respected by a boxer, why don't you fight a boxer? Right? I've asked this question before.
Yeah, you have.
It doesn't make any sense to me, right? And in theory, picking an MMA guy makes sense because MMA people do strike. But you're taking Ben Askren, who has he ever landed a punch in the UFC? I don't even know if he did, like, to be completely honest. Like, you know, it's like Ben Askren is obviously an elite competitor, a great fighter, but his the ground game is 99% of what he does.
Right.
Literally 99% of
right.
it. So it's like if I wanted to play soccer against you, right? We're both soccer players.
Yep.
And you told me that I could only use my left foot. I could only use my left leg, and yeah. I'm right-footed.
Right.
Like, yeah, I could do it, but I'm going to be significantly worse because
yes.
I can't use my dominant skill set.
Right.
So to me, even if Jake Paul wins, which I think he will, I'm going to take Jake Paul here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I still don't put the boxing respect on his name that he wants. I think
yeah.
until he fights an actual boxer,
okay,
and at least puts up a good performance. I'm not even saying he has to win. That's when I'll respect him. But for this is just a spectacle.
Yeah, this is a very smart marketing play by the Jake Paul team in picking a fighter. But literally, I could not think of any other fighter that has been in the UFC, right? Or even like Bellator, any of the top promotions for mixed martial arts. I couldn't handpick a better guy, a guy that I'd rather face in a boxing match. Ben Askren would be the pick, is what I'm trying to say. He literally has. He just doesn't have the strike. That's just not his thing. It's just and if you watch him fight, you understand why. Even when he would get people to the ground and kind of ground and pound him, even his ground and pound just like looked kind of slow. It's just where his strength is the strength in his legs and his arms in terms of controlling, squeezing, wrestling, using his weight distribution really well when he's on top of a guy. But the striking was just never something he needed, and he was able to dominate without it. So why would you ever even learn striking throughout your career if you are so good at one element of the game, which he was? So, yeah, this selection of Ben Askren as the next opponent for Jake Paul, you're absolutely right. It's I don't really respect the choice either, but I totally understand why they picked him, and it makes sense, and I agree with you. I think Jake Paul's going to win this fight, as much as I hate to say it. He is going to have way faster hands. He's going to have more technical boxing. He has, I guess, decent power if he's able to knock out Nate. I mean, Nate Robinson didn't know what he was doing. But yeah, he must have decent power to actually sleep a guy. Ben Askren has eaten some huge, huge punches from way bigger and scarier guys. So there's a question we'll dive into. Can, assuming Jake Paul wins this fight, like we both agree he will, does he secure a knockout, or is Ben Askren have too strong of a chin to be put away by a guy like Jake Paul?
I think I could see Jake Paul winning by a stoppage. I don't think he knocks him out cold.
Like a TKO, like he's just too
exactly.
fast. He's too fast and he's just kind of picks
yeah,
Ben apart.
I think Ben Askren will last like two or three rounds, and then like maybe like round, it's a six round fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like maybe like in three or round three or four, I think Jake will kind of like have worn him down, and a barrage of punches will come, and Ben will start to stumble, and then the referee will step in.
Okay.
So yeah. Actually, ooh, maybe I take Jake Paul to, I'm looking at the lines right here. Jake Paul to win in rounds three or four is plus 450.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
It's just so tough because I'm rooting for Ben Askren.
Yeah,
let's be
clear about that really quick. Let's be clear about that. In no way are we, you know, this is one of those picks where I don't think I'll ever be happier to lose a bet than if Ben Askren beats Jake Paul and I lose my money. Do you agree? I think I'll be all right with losing the bet because I want Ben Askren to win, even though my money's on the other side.
Yeah, 1,000%. Or we could take Jake Paul by decision or technical decision at plus 750. What do you think about that?
I think it's definitely possible. I mean, Ben Askren, like I said, has eaten some absolute bombs, and he was never put away until Masvidal landed the knee, which would have knocked anyone in the world out. So, yeah, that's not a bad look as well. It's just one of those things where it's so hard to get sneaky here and get and take these like kind of sharp big plus money plays, because the fight could just be so many different things. You know what I mean? Like, it could be so many different things. I just have no idea. It could be a terrible fight as well. I should throw that out there as well. It could be a terrible fight where Ben Askren's just thinking, yo, like, I'm a wrestler and I'm gonna have way more like you know, dad strength, if you will, or upper body strength, where he could just kind of like, he could just tie up Jake Paul over and over. Couldn't you see that happening, where he just kind of gets in a clinch and they just tie up over and over for six rounds?
Yeah, he'll totally be used to the speed of strikes coming at him
from
UFC guys. So like, I don't think he'll have a problem blocking the majority of Jake Paul's punches. And like you said, like Ben Askren, like his chin's made out of cinder block at this point. Like, so I think he'll be fine in that sense. So yeah, I could totally see him just killing the clock off.
And losing on points. And losing on points.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess the question is, like, how is Ben's stamina going to be? He is coming off of a hip replacement. He obviously is a little bit older, much older than Jake. He hasn't been training as long or as hard for this as Jake Paul is. So that's kind of why I don't see this going the distance. I think I'm going to take Jake Paul by knockout or TKO.
Yeah.
At +110.
Yeah, that's some value. I think that's probably the most likely scenario of all of them. That's probably why it's only +110. But honestly, it might be worth a sprinkle on the Jake Paul decision as well. I think I'm going to do just Jake Paul straight up, one unit, right? That's my official pick, Jake Paul to win. But I'll do a little bit of a sprinkle. I'll do a sprinkle on Jake Paul decision. You said +750?
Yeah, you could get Jake Paul on points for +750.
Right. That's what I'll do. I'll do a little sprinkle on that as well, just because Ben Askren has such a strong chin and it's not that long of a fight. I feel like maybe
it's 8 rounds. Eight rounds.
I think that's worth a sprinkle. So I'll do a little sprinkle on that as well. Something else I want to point out, yes, you're right. Jake has had more training time and he might look better in the later rounds cardio wise. But Mark, I mean, bright lights wise and nerves wise, I mean, Ben Askren's been in these situations over and over and over and over. Where does the veteran experience come into play? Let's say they go out there and he, you know, ties Jake up a bunch, maybe even lands a couple of solid punches on Jake. What if things aren't going Jake's way in the first couple of rounds? How does Jake respond in that big moment? We have no idea, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of been Ben Askren's biggest talking point.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, the mental side of the fight game is something that maybe Jake Paul has it, maybe he doesn't. No one knows, because both of his fights have been, I think, one rounders, right?
Nate Robinson last.
Nate Robinson
second.
Was the second round, but early second round. But that wasn't even a fight. That was Nate Robinson just bull rushing him with his hands behind his back. Like, ridiculous.
That's exactly what he was doing.
So funny to think about and watch back. But anyway, yeah, poor guy.
Mark, I would pick you to beat Ben Askren, Mark, in a boxing match.
I don't know if I have it in me to throw punches, though. Like, I'm not a fighter, you know?
But you know what I mean? Like, I actually think I could pick you to beat Ben Askren in a box. I actually think I would do that. That's how bad I think his striking is.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just going to come down to the defense. So I think that's Ben Askren's best chance, is just to frustrate Jake and try and get in his head. Jake Paul seems to me, I obviously don't know him, but I mean, he puts his whole life out on the internet, so I feel like I have a good sense of kind of who he is.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's the kind of guy that definitely in general doesn't respond well when things don't go his way.
Totally. He's the worst. God.
Yeah, Ben Askren is enough of a skilled competitor, you know. He has enough craftsmanship to know how to frustrate guys at a high level.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. That's
so I think he'll know in the ring how to throw Jake Paul off of his game plan and frustrate him.
Right.
And just hope that, okay, maybe now he gets angry, he veers away from his game plan, and he can maybe take advantage of him there. But, I mean, that's me being hopeful. I still think that Jake Paul wins. I think I might jump in on the Jake Paul on points at +750 with you to go the whole length. But it's so hard because we don't know what Jake Paul's stamina is either. Like, We don't know if he what it looks like going into the eighth round.
Very hard to make picks and do a show handicapping picks on a guy, one guy who's what, like 2-0, and one guy who's never been in a pro boxing match. So definitely a tough fight to break down. But I just think with the narrative that Ben Askren's been putting out there recently, especially where he's kind of been like, you know, we don't know how good Jake Paul is. Maybe he is good. Just the fact that he said that and doesn't seem to care, like we've kind of broke down previously. And there's so much more on the line for Jake in terms of his brand, his fans, future big money fights, all that stuff he's interested in doing. It feels like the pressure's on him. As much as I would love to see Ben Askren just completely derail the train of Jake Paul in combat sports, I would love to see it. I think it makes the most sense if you're going to put money on one side, that's the side of Jake Paul.
Yeah, can we briefly just theorize about if Ben Askren wins, like, what happens to Jake Paul?
Yeah, what does happen?
Does he fight again? He might. But, like where does he even go from there? Maybe he just, like, sticks to fighting, like, YouTubers and shit like that.
He could fight again, but it will never be near the, you know, the bandwidth of this event. Or, you know what I mean? It'll never be near the hype level of this event. It'll never get nearly as much attention if he has a loss on that record to Jake or to Ben Askren. So yeah, if Ben Askren wins this fight, yeah, I think that completely slows everything down for Jake Paul, which would be interesting, wouldn't it? And just to see how he would respond, because as you've mentioned, he's literally that guy you meet, like, you knew some Jake Pauls in college, right? We went to college together. You knew some Jake Pauls, didn't you? Like, and it was just like, you know exactly what type of guy that is, and you know how they respond to certain situations. And to see him lose would be very, very entertaining from an outsider's perspective to see how he would respond, right?
Yeah, I can get behind that. I'd even argue there are people in college that I feel like I'm giving them too much credit to compare them to a Jake Paul kind of guy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, wow. What a fight. What an interesting fight. Any other narrative points you want to touch on here? I think we covered a lot, breaking down kind of both these guys and where they're, what their situation is like heading into this one.
Can we just officially lock in? So we're both taking Jake Paul on the money line, and your prop is going to be
by decision.
Jake Paul plus 750 by decision.
And you're going to take him by, you should take him by the TKO, I think, just for fun. I mean, I wish I could pick Ben Askren, guys. I wish I could. I'm sorry
TKO
if we disappointed
plus 110.
Yeah. It's kind of meh. You might as well just take Jake on the money line at that point if you're going to, you know.
You're basically saying the fight's going to go the distance.
Well, yeah, they exactly. That's basically what you. But I mean, it's such a weird fight where it's like, this could go real bad, like in any direction, you know? It could, anything could happen, which makes it really exciting. That's why we wanted to talk about it. But it's definitely a weird one to pick. So lock it in. Official pick from both Mark and I, Jake Paul, to secure the win and continue this clown ride that we're on of Jake Paul climbing the ropes in pro boxing.
Climbing the ropes in pro boxing without coming anywhere near fighting a real boxer. Let's make sure there's an asterisk next to that statement.
All right. Well, looking forward to tuning into the fight. It's going to be on Triller. So yeah.
How do you even watch that? Like, I don't even understand. Is that on the computer?
There's got to be an app for it. I don't know. We'll have to look into it.
I will personally be illegally streaming this.
I knew you were going to say that.
I will say that right now.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people will be. Yeah, this will be interesting. We get Snoop Dogg commentating again. That'll be fun. He was great in the last one. I don't know if you remember that. He
yeah,
had some
that
great
was
lines.
Great.
Should be a good one. Ben Askren, Funky, takes on Jake Paul this weekend. Jake Paul is the pick. Thanks for tuning into the show. Subscribe to the podcast, review. You can follow me on Twitter at BetOnKyle. You can visit sportsgamblingpodcast.com for all of our good stuff on SGPN. All right, Mark, any last words from you before we close out the show?
I can't say that any of them are. It's going to be a dilemma of a week. Let's get the job done, Ben. I'll gladly let you take my money if it means that we never have to speak about this again.
See you next week.